and listen to him. Be obedient and follow his instructions. And that's what he's calling for us to do, to believe in him, have faith in him, to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you can see it, it's not faith. Believe that. You can speak that word and have faith that it's going to manifest, because in the word of God, he say he'll do it. And he's no shorter of his word. Speak the word of God and trust God. 2 Corinthians 4:18. And it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporarily, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Eternal. Get that in your Nora this morning. Some things is will tell us as we're walking by faith. Begin the day with prayer. Prayer. Your scriptures regularly. Listen to the voice of God. And remember, faith is action. Spirit of the living God, I thank you for your word this morning. I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus, heal, deliver, and set the captive free. And I just want to tell you, God bless you, God keep you, and God be with you. Till we meet again, I love you, and Jesus does too. Amen. God, we love you.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $ShalondaNobles. That's $ShalondaNobles. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we thank you now. We glorify your name. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, we praise you. Father, touch your people on today. Touch every heart, every mind. Each one of your little ones, your children. Father, cause us to enter into a place, Lord God, where we find peace and joy and rest for our souls. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come into another year and worship you. And show you that you deserve our worship. And you deserve our praise. You're worthy of every bit. Everything that we can offer you, you're worthy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this year being a year of expectancy of deliverance and salvation. We thank you for the liberty that you've given us, that we walk in, that you've made us free. That we're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us strength to be sustained, and that you've given us power to overcome all the power of the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we are not condemned, because you're greater than our heart that condemn us. Thank you, Lord God. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Thank you. Father, I thank you for clear heart and clear mind. Lord, our conscience being cleared and washed by the blood of Jesus. The blood that cures, cleanses, connects us to you, Lord God. We thank you. Thank you for your Holy Ghost who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for the bread of heaven that feeds us. We thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. And in our moment of worship and intimacy, that you've kissed us upon our lips. And now, Lord God, we are impregnated with the word of God, with the will of God, to fulfill it at every hand, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you now, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be the divine pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearer be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, miracles, power, peace, and prosperity to all that hear and believe it. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory now. And Father, when you've healed, delivered, and set free, when you've done your will in this place, we'll be careful to give you the glory. And now, Lord, we join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy. You're holy, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for a new time, a refreshing. Amen. The power to change lives. That sound good. And then I thought about, and they came over. And I wanted to let you know how Jesus came over for a reason. And then this other thought came to me. I wanted to tell the devil that you ain't got to go to hell, but you got to get out of here. Amen. He still had a plan to destroy. He come to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he was not going to stop. These demons were not going to stop until they affected the country in which they thought they had possession of. Because these swine brought a whole lot of money. I don't know what a pig go for, amen, but I tell you what, you can sell some pigs and make a whole lot of money. So here it was, 2,000 of them. We can make a bunch off of 2,000 pigs, can't we? We can make a whole lot off of 2,000 pigs. That's right, uh-huh. And so here it is, they had 2,000 pigs that were there, and the demons looked around and they said, hey, Jesus, over there on the mountain, there are some pigs. Let us go unto them. And Jesus said, all right. He gave them leave, as the scripture says. And so when he gave them leave, in verse 13, he said, forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And look, sometimes the pig got more sense than we do. The pig said, oh, no, you can't live here. But let me show you something in the story of the pigs here. The pigs, look, they ran violently down the steep place unto the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Look at this. The pigs, they ran down. One thing that possession will do to you is run you down. Possession, demonic possession, will lead you from a high place and bring you low. Not only that, but it will choke you up. Oh, come on and say amen. In other words, to choke means that you can't get air. What the word air in the Hebrew is, it means spirit. Or in the Greek, pneuma, it means spirit. And so the demonic possession will choke you to the point that you can't receive what's spiritual. Amen. When a person can't receive spiritual things, that means they have a demonic possession, because what's spiritual is not working in their life. Now, we got to understand something, though. The devil, he is spiritual, but he's not powerful. Lord, help me. Some people think that the devil is omnipotent, that he has all power, that he's all powerful, but only God is all powerful. The devil is not opposite of God. He's opposite of you, and you have power to put him under your feet. He's your enemy, amen? He already knows that he can't beat God. He already knows that he can't do anything to hurt God. All he can do is try to hurt you because you remind him of God. So we find out that they decided to go on the pigs. The pigs go down the hill, and the little pigs go down the hill, and they choke themselves in the sea. And the Bible says in verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Now we find out here that the deliverer, Jesus, is the deliverer. And guess what? He delivered by his word. He delivered by his presence. Amen. If you want deliverance from something, you need to get a word. If you want deliverance from something, you have to be in a place where the presence of God is there. Amen? And the presence of God has to be evident in order for you to get deliverance. Amen? Just because it's a building don't mean that you'll get delivered. But it has to be a building where the presence of God dwells. Oh, yeah, it has to be a place. Just because it's a church, amen, doesn't mean that you'll get deliverance. But it has to be a place where the word of God has free course, where the word of God is going forth, amen. And people have to receive that word in order to get deliverance. Oh, yeah, when you get deliverance, you'll realize that if it had not been for the word of God, I would not be delivered. That's why the Bible lets us know that Jesus came to give us deliverance. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. The Bible says in the beginning, John chapter 1, was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. We have to understand that we need to get a word, but instead we've replaced our time in the word with time doing other things. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. We don't even give our children the word. Amen. I believe it was on New Year's Eve night when we had testimony service. My aunt got up and she said that she thanked God for the family that she was born in because she was taught the word and had a good upbringing. And every week, her father would make sure that they read the word by reading it to him. Well, how many of us have spent time reading the word with our children or explaining a word to our children? You got to understand something. If you don't give your children the word, they may not get it. Oh, come on and say amen. If they have a question about the sermon, you ought to be able to say, look, I can answer it, or I'm going to call the pastor, and maybe he can answer it for us. Come on and say amen. We need to make sure our children get a word, because that's the only thing that's going to keep them. When they leave your house, you can't keep them, baby. Let me tell you. When they leave your house, you can't protect them. Let me tell you what's going to keep them and protect them. The word of God is the only protection they have. The word of God is the only keeper that they can rely on. Come on and say amen. Now, it's going to be some of them that's going to get out there and they're going to experience and try to have experience in the domain of the devil. But thanks be to God that I'm a witness that he'll bring you out of the domain of the devil and bring you back to the domain of the king. And he'll put you in the kingdom of God and give you something to do so that you won't be interested in what the world got going on. If we don't watch it, our children are so interested in the world. You know what? The world has become more attractive than the church. But we need to build ourselves up and beautify the church. I wish I had somebody. We need to build ourselves up and turn off some of that mess that make them get so interested in the world. Oh, yeah, and bring them to church. They shouldn't be staying home while you're here watching something else on TV. I wish I had somebody. They should be in the house of God. If we're going to learn, we're going to learn together. If we're going to worship, we're going to worship together. You're going to know as much about God as I know. I'm not going to let you be ignorant. The Bible said that people perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't know him by now, you're going to perish. You need to come to church with me so you'll get to know who God is. Praise his name. Oh, yeah, we need to know the deliverer. We need to know who to call on. This man saw Jesus afar off, and he went to him. Amen. We need to be able to recognize who Jesus is. We need to be able to recognize where his presence is and go where his presence is, because there's deliverance in the presence of God. The Bible said that the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Do you know that the devil seeks to yoke you? Amen. He seeks to bind you up, and as Jesus told Peter, he said, the devil has desired to have you and to sift you as wheat, to separate you from God. That's the object of the devil. And he introduces you to stuff as a young child so that you have a curiosity so that he can get you caught up. Help me, Holy Ghost. For you young people, the reason why certain things happening, certain things you getting interested in, is because the devil want to introduce you to something. Where people think that, hey, this person was blessing me, but in fact, they was cursing me. Amen. I had a friend of mine a while back, years ago. He told me, he said, you know, I was addicted to a certain drug. He said, in the way I got addicted to it was that my friend and my family member, they called me in, and we went together, and they said, hey, man, try this. And then they was giving it to me for free. And guess what he said? The people who I thought was blessing me, they were actually cursing me. They were getting me caught up in something that I couldn't get myself through. Oh, come on and say amen. So you need to watch out who you call your friends, because those same friends, the devil can use them to get you caught up into something, to introduce you to a lifestyle that you don't want to have nothing to do with, to introduce you to a lifestyle that's demonic. I wish I had somebody to introduce you to a lifestyle that demons rule. Come on and say amen. Give you a habit that you can't break because of the demonic force that's working against you. It's not all natural. I just wish they'd get themselves together. It's not that easy once the devil got you, once he's demonically possessed you, once he's demonically inflicted himself upon you. It's not that easy. You got to get God. You got to get in his presence. You got to get a word from the Lord. You got to get in the way of Jesus. What did that man do? Jesus could have went to that land, went to the city of Decapolis and preached, got back on the ship and left. But then this man said, I got to go approach him. You got to approach God. When you're dealing with something, don't you wait and say it's going to be all right. No, you better go approach God. You need to go and see if God, I need your deliverance. God, I need your help. This man went and he worshiped God. He bowed before him. He let God know, I'm at your mercy. You got to do this because I can't. There's some things that you can't do for yourself. And guess what? God is willing to do them. God said it pleases him to give you the kingdom. He will withhold no good thing from you. Do I have any witnesses? He has the power to change lives. Oh, hallelujah. But let's go on a little further, and I'm going to be out of here. Amen? And it says that when they went to investigate what Jesus had done, they went to investigate to see if it was true what the people had said. They heard that he cast the devils out into the swine, and they went to go see. Amen? Oh, yeah, we got to understand something here, that people, they're going to want to investigate your life. Because, you know, after all, we've been watching you all these years, and you ain't been nothing but a devil. Help me, Holy Ghost. We've been watching you all these years, and all you have done is kept up mess. All you have done is try to hit on women and talk to young girls. I wish I had somebody. We've been watching you. We know your M.O. This is who you are. You ain't nothing but a liar, a cheat. Come on and say amen. So they went to see if it was true. But look at this. The Bible said, and when they had come to Jesus and they saw him that was possessed with a devil, the first thing that they did, they saw the man who had been possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, they were afraid. They said, wait a minute, this boy here used to tear the world up, and all of a sudden he's sitting down. We couldn't get him to sit down. Amen. We couldn't get him to lay down. We couldn't get him to put on no clothes. Come on. You know how hard it is to try to make sure your children wear the proper clothes. We couldn't get him to do none of that, but all of a sudden, I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, he said we couldn't get him to put on the proper clothes. We couldn't get him to back in his right mind. He said, now this makes me scared. I'm almost afraid of this whole scene. When they saw this man sitting there, they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil. You know, sometimes you don't have to even tell your testimony. Other folks will tell it for you. Oh, my God. And then they begin to tell what happened. I wish I had somebody. You got some people watching your life, and they're going to tell your testimony, whether you got a good one or a bad one. I wish I had somebody. They're going to tell your testimony. And he said, now they not only talked about the boy that was possessed with the devil, but they talked about things concerning the swine. Now, what they could have made was a lot of money off the swine. And they began to pray and ask Jesus to leave their coast. And I preached this message years ago, and I said, I want you delivered, but don't mess with my hogs. That's how some of us are. As long as I got my hogs, I'm good. What does the hogs represent? The hogs represent my money. The hogs represent my income. It represents the economics in the region, because they were people who had, basically, they had a swine slaughtering company. I wish I had somebody. And they supplied pork chops to all the region. And all of a sudden, everything they had went down the drain in an instant. I wish I had somebody. They said, you know what, Jesus? You just cost us a whole lot of money. We ain't worried about that boy, but what we're worried about is my pocket. How I'm going to eat tomorrow. How much, come on and say amen. Do you know how much money I could have made off those pigs? I wish I had somebody here. All they cared about was their hogs. And sometimes that's what happens. You see, the devil knows that he has to affect something. And so he affected the region. He was only affecting the boy at one point. And they said, here's our opportunity to take the people down to poverty. And see what he did? He took the people to poverty. poverty by taking away their income and the money they would have made off those hogs and the full stomachs they would have had when they got the ham and pork chops. Now, what we gonna eat for Thanksgiving? Ain't nobody got no ham. Oh, come on and say amen. And you know how it is when you don't have something, how sad it makes you. You get all sad and depressed. I wish I had somebody. Ain't no chitlins this new year because we ain't got no hogs. And you get depressed and say, I don't even have nothing to have a good Christmas or a good New Year's with. I just wish I would die. I don't want Jesus. I don't want the church. I ain't going to praise God no more. I don't want to sing in the choir. I just don't feel it no more. And all of this because of some hogs. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Y'all looking at me, but I'm looking back at you. Yeah, you know we've been like that. It may not have been hogs, but it's been something in your life that's been taken away. And now you don't want to serve God. You don't want the presence of God because what has been stripped from you. But when it's stripped from you, that's when you ought to go to him because he can give you back what you lost. I heard Jesus say these words. He said, no man has given up anything. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, no man has given up houses or wives or family or husband or whatever they gave up for my sake, and I won't give it back to them 100-fold. What I got to realize is that whatever I lose, then God will give it right back to me. You may have lost your job, but don't worry about it. God got one on the way for you. You may have lost, come on and say amen. You may have lost some friends because you said, I'm delivered now. I don't want to go the same route anymore. But don't be worried about that. God will give you friends, and he'll be your friend when you're friendless. Do I have any witnesses here? You may have lost some family members, but Jesus say, enter into a new family now. Oh, come on and give God praise. I wish I had some people in here today that realize that even if I lose some things, I still want the presence of God. If I don't have nothing else, just give me God's presence. I heard David say that I would much rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. In other words, I'd much rather be in the place of God's presence than to do all the things that I want to do in my flesh and hang around with a wicked bunch, a wild bunch. Do I have any witnesses here? But look at the people's decision. They said, Jesus, you need to leave. We don't want nothing to do with you. Oh, come on and say amen. And verse 17 say, and they begin to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, the one that was possessed with the devil, he said, I want to go with you. You see, you got to understand something here. These people made a decision that they didn't want nothing to do with Jesus, all because of what they had to give up. You see, when you're afraid to give up some stuff and you're saying that I don't really want to give that up and so that I can live for God, you're saying what these people are saying. When you're saying you don't want to cut some friends loose so that you can live for God, you're saying what these people are saying. Come on and say amen. Don't look at me like that. I'm trying to tell you the truth in here. I'm like Paul. Now, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? If you got some stuff you want to hold on to and you're saying I'm going to hold on to this, you're saying that I want this but I don't want him. Come on, you better let go of that stuff. Come on, let it go and say, God, I let it go. I don't want nothing else to do with it. If it's keeping me from serving you like I should, if they're keeping me back from worshiping you like I should, if I can't come in your presence like I should, I want to let this stuff go. Do I have any witnesses? But look at this man. God had made a disciple just because of the deliverance this boy got. He said, I want to go with you. Jesus said, no, sir. You don't need to go with me. You need to go back to Decapolis and tell the people. Come on and say amen. He said, tell your friends the things that have happened to you, how good God has been to you. Jesus made a disciple right then. You see, you can tell people who God has delivered because they don't mind telling you that I once was a sinner, but God delivered me. I think it's something wrong when preachers get up and say, I ain't never done nothing. I always been obedient. I always did what I was supposed to. The devil is a lie. The Bible say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. He said, if you say you don't have sin, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. I wish I had somebody. Church folks need to stop pretending like they never had a bad thought, like they never done something wrong. Oh, I wish I had somebody. You need to let people know I was just like you. I did all the stuff you did. I did something worse than you done. But I want you to know to stop it because you got to come out of that in order to serve God. I want you to know that if you don't stop it, I'm afraid the devil might take you out before you find your way back. Do I have any witnesses? Can you say yes here? I need somebody to decide to be a witness. Oh, come on and say amen. This man went back to be a witness, as the Bible says. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. In verse number 20, it said he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis. How great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. We got to understand his testimony. When he began to testify, they said, weren't you the one who was trying to kill himself? Yes, I was. Weren't you the one that was slain in the graveyard? That was your house among the tombs. Yes, that was me too. Were you the one that acted so crazy that you broke every chain, that you broke out of fetters? You didn't want to listen. You were just a wild man. Yes, that was me. Or were you the one who was always naked, always walking around showing yourself? Do I have any witnesses? And the man said, that was me. But now you're looking at a new man. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, you ought to be able to see a difference. You ought to be able to look at me and see that I walk different, that I talk different, that I live different. Do I have any witnesses? Well, y'all don't want to say nothing, but it's all right. Say yes. You got a witness for the Lord. He called us. I don't know what you called to do. You got people nowadays that saying they're called. They're called to be apostles. They're called to be prophets. They're called to do this. Everybody want to be an apostle. I saw where you send $50 to a man and he give you a certificate that say you're an apostle. You got to realize that that's not the call. The call for all of us, whether you got you some kind of call in the fivefold ministry, whether you're a pastor or whatever you are, whether you're a teacher, whatever you do, God call you to witness first. You need the witness of the goodness of God. You need the witness of the good news. Now, what good news? You need to tell people that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, that is with his stripes, that we are healed, that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Do you have anybody here that's say, I'm a witness. I'll tell the world that Jesus came through 39 prophets, 42 generations just for me. He took up a rugged cross just for me, that he hung there just for me, that he died, say yeah, just for me. But he didn't stay dead because early, just for me, early Sunday morning, just for me, he rose up with all power. Say yes. Do I have anybody that's saying to the devil, you don't have to go to hell right now, but you got to get the out of here. I wish I had somebody that shared with me that the power of God will change your life. Do I have any witnesses? And Jesus came over just so we can be delivered. I came this morning to let somebody know you don't have to live with the devil. You can give him an eviction notice. Oh, come on and say yeah. You can tell him this house has been sold to Jesus. Oh, come on and say yes. Did you not know that the Bible says that you were bought with a price by the precious blood of the Lamb? I've been bought. Say yes. Do I have any witnesses? Say yes. Won't he walk with you? Won't he talk with you? Won't he tell you that you're his own? Won't he deliver you? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Won't he heal you? Do I have any witnesses? Say, I was sick and I couldn't get well. He healed my body. Now I can tell. Do I have somebody that shared this word that I said I wasn't going to tell nobody?